I want to talk this morning about finding Jesus, not primarily finding Jesus in the sense of coming to faith for the first time, but in the situation where we've known Jesus, but we find ourselves in the position of now needing to reconnect with him. And I do it this time of year because for some of us, Christmas will have been a paradox. You know, it's meant to be the time where we focused on Jesus so much. And Jesus with us, as it says on our banner, God with us. And yet we may have come through Christmas feeling that he's particularly far away. And that will have had something to do with maybe the break in our routines, you know, the busyness of the season, present buying, seeing friends. And so that we weren't as disciplined, you know, in our prayer and our Bible reading as we normally are. And maybe because we just kind of, it's the time when we indulge our physical senses. Maybe more than usual. We ate more, some of us. Some of us, we maybe drank more, and we watched more TV at the expense of feeding our spirits. And so my guess is that it often happens to me at Christmas time, actually, paradoxically, that some of us now feel the need to get close again, to reconnect with Jesus. And we're going to hear a story from the Bible that help us. Let's watch a film clip first. Ask Chris if you put up Prince Caspian 1. This is a clip from Prince Caspian where they're all lost and wondering which way to go.
I don't remember this way.
That's the problem with girls. Can't carry a map in your heads.
That's because our heads have something in them.
I wish you'd just listened to the DLF in the first place.
DLF?
Dear little friend.
Oh, that's not at all patronizing, is it?
I'm not lost.
No. You're just going the wrong way.
You last saw Caspian at the Shuddering Woods, and the quickest way there is to cross at the River Rush.
But unless I'm mistaken, there's no crossing in these parts.
Well, that explains it, then. You're mistaken.
See, over time water erodes the earth's soil, having deeper.
Oh, shut up.
Is there a way down?
Yeah, fallen.
But we weren't lost.
There's a ford near Baruna. How do you feel about swimming?
I'd rather that than walking.
Aslan? It's Aslan! It's Aslan over there! Don't you see? He's right. There.
Do you see him now?
I'm not crazy. He was back. He wanted us to follow him.
Sure, there are any number of lions in this wood. Just like that bear.
I think I know Aslan when I see him.
Look, I'm not about to jump off a cliff after someone who doesn't exist.
The last time I didn't believe Lucy, I ended up looking pretty stupid. Why wouldn't I have seen him?
Maybe he weren't looking.
I'm sorry, Leo.
Just to reassure you, I didn't cut out a swear word or anything. When it glitched, when the little dwarf was talking, I couldn't stop it from doing that when I prepared the clip. I didn't have to cut anything out there, like I sometimes do. So now we're going to hear from the Bible. We're going to hear God's word. Hopefully, the story in Luke's gospel that follows the one we looked at last week, where a story about losing and finding Jesus. And if you want to read on with it, it's on page 1029. So it's Luke chapter 2 from verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he said. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. There's ever so much in that story, but I just want to take three general principles from the story. And they're general, I think, about looking for things, about searching and finding. And we can apply them to our spiritual lives. The first thing about looking and searching and finding, I think it's so obvious. Be clear what we're looking for. You know, have you ever had that experience where you're looking for something? Maybe, say you've lost a book, and you know it's got a red cover, you know? And you hunt high and low for your book with the red cover. And eventually, you know, if it's like me, you probably give up. And days later, you find it when you're looking for something else. And lo and behold, it's got a blue cover. You know? And that's why you didn't find it. Because it's like something in our minds that if you're looking for something and you've forgotten what it looks like, you're not going to find it. You know, it's incredibly hard to find something if you've forgotten, if you think it looks like something it doesn't look like. And for Jesus' parents, the question of who they were looking for is, Americans say, a no-brainer. They lost their son. If you ever had that experience, as I have, they know very well. You know, you know who you're looking for. You know very well. They knew very well what he looked like. How about us? Maybe if we're looking to reconnect with Jesus, are we clear who we're looking for, what we're looking for? We're looking for Jesus, aren't we? The son of Mary, the first century carpenter, and later teacher, healer, who we can read about in the Bible. More importantly, we're looking for Jesus, the Son of God, who since his resurrection has ascended into heaven, and he's there today. So if we want to connect with Jesus now, we have to do it a different way. We have to do it a different way to how Mary and Joseph did, because we have to. He's not with us in the flesh. He's with us by his Spirit. This isn't second best for us, because this is God, the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus with us. So, you know, I say we shouldn't be fixated on you know, finding Jesus by the normal sort of way you'd find a person. You know, fixated on hearing his audible voice, or feeling his physical touch. I know people have experienced both those things, but they're not the normal way that we connect with Jesus. Even searching after feelings of peace, of joy, probably not helpful in the first instance, because the normative gift of God to followers of Jesus is confidence. It's knowing. It's that knowing that he's with us. And it's the confidence that he's with us that produces, at times, the feelings of peace and joy. And this confidence is outside the realm of emotions and feelings. It's in the realm of the spiritual. And we have to get used to knowing Jesus, not physically, but spiritually. And this is, inherently, I guess, problematic, the Bible would say, because our human nature is basically unspiritual. And even when we accepted Jesus, we received that new nature, a spiritual nature, our old unspiritual nature still remained operative, and it's working to damp down our spiritual awareness. Now, when I was a teenager, I really struggled with this. I couldn't believe in anything that I couldn't touch or couldn't see or be proved by science. And I was regular churchgoer. I made my commitment to Jesus when I was confirmed, as we did in our church. So I was on board with the church thing, and I was on board with the Christian ideal. But I didn't believe in God because, you know, that sort of thing, the spiritual things, just seemed just impossible, impossibly far-fetched. And then, I was telling you a story this morning, and it's a weird story to be telling in church. I'm not usually given to telling this sort of story in church, but somehow I thought I should tell it. And it was when I was 21, and I had a job in a hotel. I was a general sort of dog's body. Bit of this, bit of that. Bit of making beds, bit of washing up, bit of waitering. And I did the odd jobs as well, little bits of easy sort of maintenance. And the manager told me one day, beginning of the season, there's a problem in one of the rooms. You go up and, the light isn't working in the bathroom. That's what it was. And I got to the room with a few tools and a spare bulb. And, the light wasn't working in the bathroom, but also it's freezing cold in there. There was an explanation for that too, because the radiator wasn't turned on, and the bulb was easy to fix. The radiator was hard. I couldn't get the water into it. The valve was going round and round. It was taking me a while. And while I was doing that, I just got a bad feeling. I just got give me the creeps in there, and. And I was just still trying to do what I was trying to do. And then I quite clearly, friends, I saw, as I looked, I was in the bathroom, and I could see it, picture it to this day. And I was looking out into the bedroom, and one of the lights came on its own in the bedroom, the bedside lights, you know. There's nobody else in the place. You couldn't, you know. And I thought, sort of, that really spooked me. I thought, there's ever so many explanations for that. Just get a grip. But I thought, actually, it's probably time I was going. It's probably nearly dinner time, you know? So I was just sort of back, and I just looked at my watch to check what time it was, and it had stopped, you know? And, this was one that, a wind-up watch, so there's no battery or anything. And it never let me down, ever, you know? But when I saw it had stopped, I just grabbed my tools, three flights of stairs, down into where everyone else was, or my co-workers, gathering in the kitchen for their dinner. And, later on that evening, I was telling him, I tried everything to get the watch working, basically, what you used to do to that kind of watch. And you tap it, wouldn't you, to get the little wheels moving again and shake it, And usually that would do it, but nothing would cause this watch to go again. I was just, and later on, about 2 hours later, I was talking to my co-worker who I shared a room with, and I sort of tried to tell him this story, and and he was all right, and I said, look, my watch stopped, and it has not been going ever since. I looked down, and it's going again, it had just started when I was telling the story. I thought, I don't know what you make of that story. I'm not saying that's the sort of experience we should, I don't know why I'm telling it to you this morning, but because that's not the kind of experience we should expect when we're looking for Jesus. That's not what we're looking for in any way. And, I don't even think that was God doing it directly. I mean, and neither did it make me a believer in God. You can be obsessed with the supernatural and not believe in God. But it changed my attitude from God is not possible to, well, maybe. Because I took on board, what Shakespeare's Hamlet said, there are more things in heaven and on earth, Horatio, that are dreamt of in your philosophy than are dreamt of in your philosophy, If you're looking for Jesus, remember, it's a spiritual search. It's outside the realm of feelings. It's outside the realm of touch and sight. We're looking for more than that. We're looking for Jesus, the Son of God, made present through the Holy Spirit. And secondly, the principle I think we see from this story is look in the right place. Do you find it irritating when you're looking for someone and someone something and someone says, where did you leave it? You know? And I think, well, if I knew that, friends, I wouldn't be looking for it. You know, they're just trying to be helpful because they're right, aren't they? When you're looking for something, it really, really helps if you're looking in the right place. Mary and Joseph looked for 3 days in all the wrong places. And then they looked in what we, with hindsight, would say it was not only the right place, but it was the most obvious place, in the temple. Jesus was the Son of God. So, why wouldn't he be found in God's house, in the temple? And there's a lesson for us here as well. That we don't have a temple, we understand, don't we? We don't have a temple like they did. This building is not the equivalent of the temple in Jerusalem. No church building is the equivalent of the Jewish temple. The Bible tells us that followers of Jesus are now the temple. Each of us is the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the way God the Holy Spirit lives in each believer. And that's a very deep, a very significant truth for us. But what it doesn't mean is that because Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit lives in me, there's no need for me to do anything. No need for me to go to church, to pray, read the Bible in order to stay connected to Jesus. The New Testament shows that's a misunderstanding of what it means to have Jesus living in me, the Holy Spirit in me. And the New Testament shows that all the things that Jesus did, the things that the first disciples did, like meeting together to worship, spending proper time in prayer, reading the Bible, they're vital if we're going to reconnect or stay meaningfully connected to Jesus. The same is true of living according to the ways of Jesus, being sure to forgive those who wrong us, avoiding sexual sin, attending to the needs of the poor and the suffering, resisting temptation to personal pride. You know, these aren't optional things if we want to reconnect with or stay connected to Jesus. All these are things are our equivalent, aren't they, of looking for Jesus in the right place. If you like, making our lives suitable places to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you would like to get closer to Jesus, then just attend to the basics of practical faith. And the third thing, briefly, is keep on searching. You know, again, for Mary and Joseph, it's a no-brainer. If you've mislaid your child, you don't have a quick look round and then say, such is life. You know, maybe I'm just not meant to find him or her. You know, no. You keep on looking, don't you? Absolutely, until you find them. And this is Jesus' instruction to us: don't be passive. Keep on looking, because those who keep on looking will find. And it's amazing how casual, you know, many Christians are when it comes to maintaining that vital living relationship with Jesus. I've got a friend, he considers himself to be a Christian. He'll go to church once in a blue moon. He never reads the Bible, never prays, apart from maybe, you know, half a minute when he gets into bed or maybe on the bus. And but he'll spend hours practicing his hobby, you know, Eastern meditation martial art. You know, everybody knows, don't they, that maintaining a human relationship involves a certain amount of time and effort. You know, we have to give a certain amount of attention to the other person, not constantly worried about whether they like you, whether they love you or not, but just the practical thing. If we never pay attention to another person, a particular person, then that relationship is not going to thrive. And the same happens with our relationship with God. It's the most important relationship we can ever have. And it's hard, friends. I know it's hard to keep that enthusiasm, to persevere with those things that keep us close to Jesus, not least because the feelings of closeness aren't always there. And sometimes, even though my livelihood depends on it, doesn't it? People sometimes say it's easier for you, and it is in that respect that I have that incentive, my livelihood depends on staying meaningfully connected to Jesus. But I only keep on sometimes by remembering what the fitness instructors say, isn't it? No pain, no gain, you know? And the gain in the end is real, because it is possible to know that Jesus is with you. It is possible to know that Jesus cares for you and that he's preparing a place for you in heaven. It's possible to be sure and certain and absolutely persuaded of that. And remember what G.K. Chesterton once wrote, the Christian writer. He said, Christianity's never been tried and found to fail. The only thing that's happened is it's been found hard and never properly tried. And the most wonderful thing, of course, is that God wants us to find him. You know, God wants us to find him in Jesus, in his love. He doesn't want to stay hidden from us. He wants us to know him. One of the most encouraging statements for me in the whole of the New Testament is this, that God rewards those who diligently seek him. And so if you've got a desire in you to come closer to Jesus, know him better, have more confidence in him, then why make 2015 a year of intentional action. Build good habits into your routine. Push through the discouraging pain barrier. Make it your priority to do the things that build faith. And I believe, as much as I believe anything, that Jesus spoke the truth, that those who seek find. And that in finding him, they also find all their most basic needs of confidence, and peace, joy, and purpose, all found in Jesus. Amen. Let's watch another clip from Prince Caspian. It sounds much later in the film. Let's,
Aslan!
Why would that stop you from coming to me?
I'm sorry. Too scared to come alone. Why wouldn't you show yourself? Why couldn't you come roaring in and save us like last time?
Things never happen the same way twice, dear one.
If I'd come earlier, and everyone who died, could I stop that?
We can never know what would have happened, Lucy. But what will happen is another matter entirely.
And you'll help?
Of course. As will you.
Oh, I wish I was braver.
If you were any braver, you'd be a lioness. Now, I think your friends have slept long enough, don't you?
Lovely. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this new year. Lord, we thank you for your word that says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Tells us sometimes to forget the former things. Lord, we look forward to what you will do in 2015. Lord, we pray that you'll keep us walking close to you, keep us humble, and willing to learn. And Lord, help us to keep on seeking more of you and keeping on believing that you reward those who diligently seek. For you are a faithful and promise-keeping God. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.